It's a good morning, isn't it? It is. And I'm glad each of you chose Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives, to be here this morning and to not just celebrate who God is, but hear from His Word as well. And as we get started, what I'd like to do is two things. If you'd like a Bible, just by showing of hands, one of our ushers will be glad to get you one, because we're going to be going to Scriptures this morning. And the other way is inside our church bulletin, which is our FYI. There's a half sheet outline that you can follow with along as well. When February began, we started our series called Overcoming, where we have been looking specifically in the book of Luke and chapters 22. And as the weeks move on, we're going to be looking at chapter 23 as well. What we're doing is we're looking at the last days of Jesus' life. And at the core, at the center of it all, of our series, comes some powerful words that Jesus says. And we're going to look at those words next week, where Jesus says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." And because of what Christ has done for us, Christ has overcome sin, He has overcome death, that you and I can say, "What you want for my life, God, whatever situation you put me in, God, that's what I want." And so last week we took a time and looked at overcoming rivalries. We saw that the disciples were arguing at the Passover meal about who was going to be the greatest. And what we learned from that is that you and I can strive to create a community of faith that promotes unity, that we consider others better than ourselves, but it has to begin with a heart attitude of humility. And so this morning, I want to share a story when I was a kid. Now, this story is my family. We were going on vacation, and it required us to fly. We were flying out of the Philadelphia International Airport. Now, before we got to the airport, my parents was giving my sister and my brother and I instructions on what not to do when at the airport and what to do at the airport. They told us that you stay right by our side. We're going to go through security, and we're going to do other things. But stay with us. Got it. No problem, Mom and Dad, we'll stay together. And so we get through security, and my parents were getting settled there at the gate, and Jeff decided to walk off and explore the airport. And so not even 5 minutes into my adventure, I realized that I am nowhere near my family. I don't see people who even resemble my parents. And I remember the words that they told me, "Don't leave us." And so there I was in really panic mode. Have you ever had a time where you were so scared you could just feel it? Yeah, so that was me as this young kid. And so I'll get back to my story as we go throughout our message today. But what we want to look at this morning is overcoming abandonment. Overcoming abandonment. And what I want to say here is that maybe for some of us today, that is something that we have experienced in our lives. And we don't want to downplay that, but here's what we want to say. What we want to look at is Peter's life. We want to look at how Peter handled a situation that he and Jesus were talking about. And it's not about Jesus. It's not about God abandoning us. And we're going to look and see that in our scripture today. And if you're following along your outlines, the first statement we see here is our main idea for today, is that Jesus won't give up on us in this life. Jesus won't give up on us in this life. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 22, he said, "I will be with you always, even until the end of this age." And I know for myself, and I don't know about you, but there are times where I have been challenged for the things I believe. I have been asked to compromise how I live, and I've bailed. I've abandoned what I believe. I've abandoned Jesus and what he's told me on how to live a life that is right. And sometimes I've even asked, what did I even sign up for when these pressures in life come my way? And what we're going to do is we're going to look again at Peter. We're going to look at this conversation that he and Jesus have at the Passover meal. We're going to look at how Peter responds to taking a stand for Christ. We're going to see how Jesus responds to Peter's responses. And we're also going to take a look at a couple of things that we can remember when it comes to being faithful to Jesus. So before we get to Scripture, I want to set up the scenarios. We have two today. One is going to be found in verses 31 to 34 of chapter 22, And the second scenario is verses 54 to 62. We're going to focus mainly on verses 31 to 34, and then we're going to interweave 54 to 62. Now, with 31 to 34, Jesus and the disciples are still at the Passover meal. And yet now Jesus is directing his attention to Peter. And he is telling Peter what is about to transpire over the next couple of hours. And then what we'll see again in 54 to 62 is how this conversation plays out. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 31 and read to verse 34. So Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Simon, Simon," and we'll get to Simon because his name changes in just a bit to Peter. Jesus says, "Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Now, this "you" that Jesus is speaking of, he's speaking of a plural. He's speaking of disciples, okay? So, "Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." Now, he's speaking singularly. He's speaking directly to Simon. "I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, this is Simon, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." And so we have here a dialogue between Jesus and Simon, Peter, about, again, what's going to happen in the next couple hours. And not only that, Peter is really showing his allegiance to Jesus. And we see Jesus is telling him, "That's not going to happen, buddy." And so for you and I, that's for us. What do we do in those times when we're challenged with the faith that we believe or the Jesus that we profess or when the line in the sand is drawn? And so what I want to do for the next few moments together is look at the power of pursuit. Looking at the power of pursuit. Asking the question, how do we go from abandoning Jesus to be recklessly abandoned to him? And so, once again, in your outlines, the first is this, is that it's obedience over comfort. Obedience over comfort. Again, in verses 31 and 32, Jesus is letting Simon know that trouble is coming your way. Satan is wanting to bring spiritual destruction to all of you. Oh, and here's the other thing, Simon. God's going to allow this to happen. And we see in this conversation, Jesus doesn't give up on Simon. Now, you may ask, well, how's that possible? Because Jesus says, "Simon, I'm going to pray for you that your faith doesn't fail." And so we see the faithfulness of Jesus, even in the moment of him knowing that this was about to happen, even knowing that what was coming in the next several hours. But he says, "Simon, I'm going to pray for you that your faith doesn't fail." Not only that, Jesus knows the outcome. Jesus says to Simon, he says, "And when you have turned back." Jesus didn't tell him, "If you turn back, maybe this will happen." No, he says to him, "And when you turn back." Jesus knows the outcome. He knows that Peter was about to have an epic fail, but he knows that it wasn't going to destroy him. And we see here that Jesus is still letting him know, "Simon, Peter, I want you to learn from this experience." And yet we see in verses 54 through the first half of verse 60 that Simon does exactly the opposite of what Jesus says he's going to do for him. So in verses 54 and 55, what has happened now in between the conversation and what we're getting ready to get to is Jesus has been arrested, and now he is on trial with the high priest, the religious leaders of that day. Peter is in the courtyard of the high priest, and he's trying to kind of stay not noticed, but he's also wanting to see what's happening with Jesus. And that brings us to verse 56. It says, "A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.'" First opportunity, first fail. "But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. Second opportunity, second fail. Verse 59 says, about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Third opportunity, third fail. Three times Peter had an opportunity to choose obedience over comfort, and Peter chose comfort. Peter chose what was easier. It was easier to deny this Jesus who he had spent 3 years with than it was to take a stand for who he lived for. Not only that, Peter, it's almost like he got like momentary amnesia, right? Forgetting that Jesus said to him, I'm going to pray for you that your faith won't fail. Forgetting that Peter was told, and when you have turned back. Forgetting that Peter was told, strengthen your brothers. And in three opportunities, he failed. And so I think of Peter's situation, and I think of my own life. Many years ago, I had a friend that we worked together, but then we became friends. And so his name is Wayne. And Wayne and I, we did a lot of crazy stuff together. I'll just put it that way. And there was no time in my relationship with Wayne while living in New Jersey, did I ever share who Jesus was? Did I ever not compromise with giving in to activity? Did I never invite him to be a part of a community of faith? Never. And I moved from New Jersey to Atlanta. And in that time in Atlanta, Tina and I were married, and we began our family, and we came back to New Jersey to visit family who was still in New Jersey. And so we went to the church that my brother was a college pastor at, and literally as we were walking in, who comes walking right up beside Jeff? You're allowed to say it. Wayne. True story. You can ask Tina. So as we're walking in, we're like, hey, how you doing? What you been into? It's been a long time, blah, 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 blah. And then we get into the atrium of the church, and I said, so what are you doing here? It's like, what are you doing here, right? You know? But he said, Jeff, about a year ago, I gave my life to Jesus. And it was like, whoa, really? I was excited, but I was so saddened because all those memories came back into my mind. That film was playing quickly. And I said, I want to tell you, Wayne, that I apologize for never saying, never living, never inviting in front of you. He said, no, it's okay, man. I'm a part of the family of God. And I'm like, it's not okay. I sat for an hour and a half in a church service, and for the rest of the day, I was wrecked. But here's what I do know. Even though I failed, I know that that molded and shaped who I am today. Not only did it mold and shape who I am today, it's molded and shaped what I do today. Because I have an opportunity to work with junior and high school students to share with them. You don't have to wait till you have it all together. You don't have to wait till you graduate. You don't have to wait till you have a family. You can share Jesus. You can live for him right now in your home, in your campuses, wherever it is. And you can do it now. Don't wait. Don't be like a Jeff. You can do it now. See, you and I are going to have times where we fail. We have times where we failed at things outside of even the spiritual realm, correct? How many of you have failed at something you tried? Yeah, okay, good. All of us should, you know. But the point is that we will fail. We have times where we look at comfort and say that's much easier than being obedient, and we choose comfort. Not only that, we can remember that when you and I choose obedience over comfort, obedience to God is rewarding. It may not be instantly, it may not be in the next week, but it's rewarding. And it may even, if we have the right frame of mind, is eternal. And so when we talk about obedience over comfort, I wonder in the conversation if Peter ever asked Jesus how comfortable was it going to be for him to be obedient to his Father. I wonder if Peter at any moment said, listen, I know that you know, you keep talking about dying for the world and all this, but are you really going to do it? When it really comes down to it, are you going to walk away? And yet we see that Jesus himself, and we're going to look at it more next Sunday, that Jesus himself didn't choose comfort. Jesus chose obedient, humble submission to God. That's what he did. I thank God that he did not choose comfort. I thank God that he chose obedience, went to the cross, died for the sins of humankind. But because of his obedience, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he raised him from the dead. Bottom line, thank you, Jesus, for not choosing comfort. So for you and I, we can understand that sometimes things may not be easy, but when we're obedient, God will show us how to do what he's asked us to do. So when we talk about overcoming abandonment and we choose to pursue a life of obedience over comfort, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, where are we living uncomfortable as a result of our obedience? Where are we living uncomfortable because of our obedience? It may be in what you do. You may choose to live obediently to God and have right business practices. It may be that you choose to be obedient to God, and on your school campuses, you choose not to compromise your faith because you want to fit in. It may be that you choose as a family, we're not going to allow society to define what family looks like. We're going to be Jesus-centered family. Or it may even mean that, you know what, I feel uncomfortable because I am giving of my time, of my treasures, and my talents here to God's church because I want people to know who Jesus is. Where are you living uncomfortable because of obedience? And maybe you need to write that down. It's not to, but it's to say, God, I choose to obey you over taking the easy way. The Bible tells us when we speak of obedience and comfort, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. See, obedience means that we look at our crisis of belief as an opportunity, not as a distraction and not as a disruption. Obedience means for you and I that we learn from our epic fail moments so that you and I can learn from our experiences and warn and encourage and comfort others. And because Jesus never gives up on us, we respond with obedience. Jesus responds with comfort. So when you and I talk about overcoming abandonment, we begin by understanding it's obedience over comfort. The second is this, is that it's movement over just saying. It's movement over just saying. Back to the conversation in verses 33 and 34, Peter begins to make some promises because of his commitment to Jesus. Peter says, prison, no problem. Death, sign me up. I am with you all the way. I got your back, Jesus. You don't have to worry about a thing. And yet Jesus, knowing Peter's heart, knowing his motive, he tells him, no, you won't. He spoke truth to him. He spoke love to him. You know, it may have, you know, I don't know, it may have crushed Peter's ego. Wait a minute, I've been doing this for you for 3 years. You remember I'm the big mouth? Well, yeah, you are the big mouth, Peter, and this is why I know your heart. This is why I know you're not going to follow through. But again, because Jesus knows the outcome, he says, I know it's not going to destroy you. You know, and we see in verse 60 through 62 that Peter's words were never backed up by his actions. So let's look together again at the second half of verse 60. It says this, just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. You know, Peter not only denied his Lord, but he denied his dear friend. You know, they made eye contact. I mean, I have no idea how close or how far away they were from one another, but they made eye contact. And we don't see here that Jesus says, listen, when this is all said and done, we're no longer BFFs. You know, when this is all said and done, I'm going to defriend you. You know, Jesus didn't say, when this is all said and done, make sure you have a change of address. Jesus looked at him. Was it disappointment? I mean, here's another one. How many of us have had our parents or others that we've disappointed give us that look? I'm disappointed in you. Yeah, some of you. Come on. How many of you really? All right, good. We can be honest here. My mom used to tell us kids, it's not that I'm disappointed in you. Let me rephrase that. It's not that I'm angry with you. I'm disappointed in you. Man, I'd rather you be angry with me than being disappointed because this guilt and this shame just overwhelm me. And this is what we see happen to Peter. Boom. The moment that rooster crowed, he knew the conversation. He remembered it. And he went out and he wept bitterly. He was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. But what Jesus did, he looked at him with both concern and with love. He knew the outcome. They didn't disassociate with each other. He didn't say, forget you, buddy. I'll find some other disciples who are better. He didn't. You know, I remember that airport scenario. And it wasn't long, maybe 10 minutes max, but you know, you feel like it's forever. And I'm sitting there, well, I wasn't sitting, I'm walking around. Like, you know, you could have asked someone to help you find, but I had no idea what flight we were on, I had no idea what gate. I just knew we were flying. But it was there, I was like, man, why didn't I just listen to mom and dad? Why didn't I just do what I was asked to do? I said, uh-huh, but I totally did the opposite of what I was asked to do. And I thought, did they get on the plane? Are we having like a Home Alone moment here? Or like, what's going on? You know, did they forget me? Because I really miss them now. But we see this with Peter. He was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed to the point of crying, like uncontrollably. And so for you and I, when we talk about this pursuing God, when we talk about having this relationship with Jesus and beginning this movement, when's the last time we actually did it? In other words, movement says we act upon the things we say. It's, God, I'm going to do this for you. You know, and it's almost like the New Year's resolutions come up, and we know that 80% of people who sign up to the gym quit after like 3 months. But this is a God and you, God and me moment. It doesn't have to be January 1. But what are those things that we've said? If you had to write down things that you have said, God, I'm going to start this now, what would they be? Because when we begin to talk to God and say, here's what I'm going to do, I'm committed to you, we have to be careful. I have to be careful because we can become overconfident. We can become self-sufficient. And then who does that make that about? Doesn't make it about the one who overcame. Makes it about me. So the question that we can ask when it comes to overcoming abandonment and we look at movement over just saying is, where do we need to go from lip service to actually moving with God? Where do we need to go from lip service to moving with God? It may be as simple as, I just want to take time with God in His Word. That could be it. It may be, listen, I have kind of skipped the idea of serving the church because really the church should serve me. But maybe that's it, that you realize, no, I need to be helping expand the kingdom of God. Maybe it's something personal in your life. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's the way you behave that you've been saying, man, I want to change this. But it's coming to the place to admitting that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. See, that happened to me just recently, maybe about 2.5 weeks ago. I was taking my daughter to an event that she was asked to attend. Now, do you remember the Friday night it was really snowing heavy? So add that into trying to find where I don't know where I'm going, and then I'm already in panic mode, okay? GPS was not helping because we literally, once it all was said and done, we drove by the place 6 times, couldn't find it. And so Jeff began to get impatient with his daughter. Jeff began to get angry with his daughter. Jeff was not gentle with his daughter. What did that do? That stressed his daughter out. So we came home. I said, we can't find it this time. We're going home. Okay, all right. You know, we get home and Tina's like, what happened? And I was telling her, she's like, you know, you could be easy, right? You know, we usually hurt the ones we love, right? And I said to her, I said, I want to tell you I'm sorry. That was out of line. I said, do you want to go and try? You still have time. She's like, I don't want to go again. You're out of your mind. You know, and she had every right to say that. But it was on a Friday night, and it was Saturday and Sunday. I began to say, God, I am angry with getting angry. I don't like this anymore. This is just makes me sick to my stomach. And it was on Monday morning that I was taking time with God, and I was reading in Psalm chapter 51. And I said, God, I've realized that I said I can do this. I think I really need your help because I'm tired of doing it this way. I don't want to do this to my family. I don't. And in that moment, our dog comes up and puts her two paws on my lap. Now, if you want to talk about patience, that's one. I love my dog. Okay, don't take anything wrong, but she just annoys me. She's Tina's girl. I'm just saying. But it was God's way of like, all right, I do have a sense of humor. And she sat on my lap. And I was like, all right, I get it. Now, will I fail at not being patient? Sure. But now that I've said, God, I want you to help me overcome this in my life, I believe we're going to have a lot easier road. Now, it may be hard. It's true. But it may be a little bit easier than it was. I can do this for you, God. I can do this for you, God. I can do this for you, God. The Bible tells us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. I had to come to the place where I said, it's not about me. I had to come to the place where I was sick and tired of the things that God really just can't stand. He loves me, but he couldn't stand the anger, the impatience, not being gentle. And when we think about when we started our series, we talked about Judas. We talked about how Judas betrayed Jesus. You know, when we play out this story, Judas's betrayal led to death. Peter's betrayal led to restoration. I mean, if you think about this, Jesus goes in verse 31 from calling him Simon. Now, Simon means the one who hears. You know, Simon, you were with Jesus for 3 years. You heard the things he said. You saw the things he did. You experienced the miracles he performed. And then he goes from verse 31 to Simon to verse 34 to Peter. And when he restores Peter after his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he says, Peter, you are going to be the one that I'm going to start my church on this earth. And you know, with Peter, he moved with God. Sure, he had a moment of failure because of the things he said to God, but he moved with him. And when he moved with him, the church began. Christianity spread, and following God and doing for God, it cost Peter his life. But his abandonment brought about restoration. See, just like me, I had to come to a place to say, I've been wrong. And maybe that's where you are. You may have made these commitments. You may have made these promises, but it's coming to the place of saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God, I want you to be the one who helps me overcome this issue. Movement means that we make a sincere decision to follow through on what we've promised to God. Movement also means turning from talking about it to doing something about it. And because Jesus never gives up on us, with his help, we can begin to talk less and move more. So when we look at this idea of overcoming abandonment, first we said it's obedience over comfort. Second, it's movement over just saying. Now, the airport fiasco turned out well. I'm okay, as you can see. But when my parents found me, they were the ones who got security, good people, they said, don't ever do that again. We were looking all over for you. Now let's just get on the plane. Don't ever do that again. We were looking all over for you. And let's get on the plane. And I remember that story because my own life and even this thing called Christianity, we had those times where we abandon, where we reject, and where we would deny. We have times where we say, I'd rather just talk about it than do about it. Recent church survey in America says that 4 in 10 Americans say they're Christian and that they attend church regularly. Out of those 4 in 10, 1 in 10 say what they believe doesn't impact how they live. 1 in 10 say that what they believe does not impact how they live. And so, hopefully you don't feel beat up today. Hopefully you don't feel like, man, I got to make all these changes quickly and I got to get everything right. If Jesus never gives up, then allow him to be the one to change your heart, be the one to change your life. Make the adjustments that are needed. Choose that obedience over taking the easy way. Choose movement over just saying. You know, I found a video on YouTube. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's called Kid President, and it's called Pep Talk. And I just wanted to share this with us because I want to encourage us, and also I ask that you keep it in the frame of reference that we've been talking about overcoming abandonment, about being people who choose obedience over comfort and movement over just saying. So I'm going to give it over to Nathan, and then we'll wrap things up. I love that little video because when we put it into the context of what we've been talking about today, two things that stuck out for me. He says, give the world a reason to dance. See, what we can learn about Jesus never giving up on us in this story about Peter is that let us give the world a reason to know why Jesus is the hope of the world. He also said that we have been created for awesome. You know, you and I have been created and wired to live out God's purposes in his world. He wants to do great things through you and through me. And so, here's the thing. You know, we may not deny Jesus verbally. We may not even deny Jesus publicly. But yes, Lord. All right, so we may not deny him in those ways, but we may at times deny him by our behavior. We may deny him by our attitudes and our motives, and we may deny him by who we associate ourselves with or how we treat one another. And so, if Jesus will never give up on us, and I believe he won't, the question that we can ask ourselves is this. Are you going to choose to be a faithful follower or a faithless deserter? Are you going to choose to be a faithful follower or a faithless deserter? We see once again that Peter was restored by Jesus, and he went on to do great things for the kingdom of God. Sure, he chose comfort for a bit, and sure, he made a lot of claims that he didn't follow through on. But it was from them that Peter learned from his experiences, and he went on to be a part of God's work in beginning his church and beginning the spread of Christianity. You know, we said earlier today about this idea of having a relationship with Jesus. And I believe it's not just an idea. I believe it's true. I believe what Jesus did by sacrificing himself on the cross brings eternal life. And it's not something magical. It's something in our hearts that we say, I want to surrender to you, Jesus. I see today that I've been living comfortable. I see today that I've said a lot. I mean, you know, I come to church, so that's pretty cool. I can say the church things, sing the church songs. But it's today I realize that I want obedience, and I need you to help me with it. I want to move with you. And that may be where you are for the first time today. And I would encourage you to speak with myself or one of the elders about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only that, if you have been, you know, listening and thinking through those things that you were asked, maybe today you just need someone to pray with you It's okay. It's okay to say, listen, it's time for me to move. We want to journey with you in that. And so as we close this morning, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Let us choose obedience over comfort. Let us have less lip service and more movement. Let us learn from our experiences and allow God to continue to impact our lives so that when we have those moments where the line is drawn in the sand, we are ready when challenged. And if this morning it's, yeah, you know what, I've been failing. I've been running and running and running because that's all I've known to do all my life. I want you to know today, from my heart of hearts, that Jesus never gives up on us. Never. He is a heavenly Father who is committed to you and I forever. Forever. And so, let us choose to be faithful followers. Let us choose to be faithful followers. Let's pray. Father, I know in my own life there are times when I do take off running because I'm afraid or because I worry about what others will think or I think it may cause sacrifice or it may make me feel uncomfortable. God, there are times that in our lives where we've made a lot of commitments to many things that we follow through on, but when it comes to you, for some reason, we're like, God understands. But Jesus, this morning, what we ask of you is this. Can you point out to us in truth and in love the areas of our lives where we're living comfortable? God, would you challenge us to move with you? God, would you show us that it's okay to move with you? That, God, it's you who does the work in our lives. It's you who changes the world around us. God, I pray that we would be people who surrender to you as we saw the beautiful example again this week of your son who chose obedience over comfort, who chose movement over just saying. Thank you again that you did that, Jesus, to bring life and life eternal. So God, this is your time as we reflect and we respond to the things that we've heard from you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.